Chapter 80. The marshals, moved, rushed forward and seized his hand.
Mark, marshals, here, it is a conquering foe I covenant with, and not the traitors at the Tuileries who call themselves the government of France. Call Inkert, go to Paris as before, Ney and MacDonald too, and hand in this to Alexander, and to him alone.
He gives the document, and bids them adieu almost without speech. The marshals and others go out. Napoleon continues sitting with his chin on his chest. An interval of silence. There is then heard in the corridor a sound of wedding. Enter Roustan the Mameluke, with a whetstone in his belt, and a sword in his hand.
Roustan, after this fall, your majesty, 'tis plain you will not choose to live, and knowing this, I bring to you my sword.
Napoleon, with a nod, I see you do, Roustan.
Roustan, will you, sire, use it on yourself, or shall I pass it through you?
Napoleon, coldly, neither plan is quite expedient for the moment, man.
Roustan, neither? Napoleon, there may be, in some suited time, some cleaner means of carrying out such work.
Roustan, sire, you refuse? Can you support vile life a moment on such terms?
Why then, I pray, dispatch me with the weapon, or dismiss me.
He holds the sword to Napoleon, who shakes his head.
I live no longer under such disgrace.
Exit Roustan haughtily. Napoleon vents a sardonic laugh, and throws himself on a sofa, where he by and by falls asleep. The door is softly opened. Roustan and Constant peep in.
Constant, tonight, would be as good a time to go as any. He will sleep there for hours. I have my few francs safe, and I deserve them, for I have stuck to him honorably through 14 trying years.
Roustan, how many francs have you secured?
Constant, well more than you can count in one breath, or even two.
Roustan, where?
Constant, in a hollow tree in the forest. And as for your reward, you can easily get the keys of that cabinet, where there are more than enough francs to equal mine. He will not have them, and you may as well take them as strangers.
Roustan, it is not money that I want, but honor. I leave, because I can no longer stay with self-respect.
Constant, and I, because there is no other such valet in the temperate zone, and it is for the good of society that I should not be wasted here.
Roustan, well, as you propose going this evening, I will go with you, to lend a symmetry to the drama of our departure.
Would that I had served a more sensitive master. He sleeps there quite indifferent to the dishonor of remaining alive.
Napoleon shows signs of waking. Constant and Roustan disappear. Napoleon slowly sits up.
Napoleon, here the scene lingers still. Here linger I, things could not have gone on as they were going. I am amazed they kept their course so long. But long or short they have ended now at last.
Footsteps are heard passing through the court without.
Hark at them leaving me. So politic rats desert the ship that's doomed. By morrow dawn I shall not have a man to shake my bed, or say good morning to.
Spirit of the years, herein behold, how heavily grinds the will upon his brain, his halting hand, and his unlighted eye.
Spirit ironic, a picture this for kings and subjects to.
Spirit of the pities, yet is it, but Napoleon who has failed. The pale pathetic people still plod on through hoodwinkings to light.
Napoleon, rousing himself. This now must close.
Roustan misunderstood me, though his hint serves as a fillip to a flaccid brain.
I'll gild the sunset sky of majesty better than by the act esteemed of yore.
Plutarchian heroes outstayed not their fame, and what nor Brutus nor Themistocles, nor Cato nor Mark Antony survived.
Why should I?
Sage Cannabis, you primed me.
He unlocks a case. Takes out a little bag containing a phial, pours from it a liquid into a glass, and drinks. He then lies down and falls asleep again. Re-enter Constant softly with a bunch of keys in his hand. On his way to the cabinet he turns, and looks at Napoleon. Seeing the glass and a strangeness in the emperor, he abandons his object, rushes out, and is heard calling. Enter Merit and Bertrand.
Bertrand, shaking the emperor, what is the matter, sire? What's this you've done?
Napoleon, with difficulty, why did you interfere?
But it is well, call Linkert. I'd speak with him a trice before I pass.
Merit hurries out. Enter Ivan the physician, and presently call Linkert.
Ivan, renew this dose. 'Tis a slow workman, and requires a fellow. H has impaired its early promptitude.
Ivan shakes his head and rushes away distracted. Call Linkert seizes Napoleon's hand.
Call Linkert, why should you bring this cloud upon us now?
Napoleon, restrain your feelings. Let me die in peace. My wife and son I recommend to you. Give her this letter, and the packet there. Defend my memory, and protect their lives.
They shake him. He vomits.
Call Linkert, he saved for good or ill as may betide.
Napoleon, God hear how difficult it is to die. How easy on the passionate battle plain.
They open a window, and carry him to it. He mends.
Fate has resolved what man could not resolve. I must live on, and wait what heaven may send.
MacDonald and other marshals re-enter. A letter is brought from Marie-Louise. Napoleon reads it, and becomes more animated. They are well, and they will join me in my exile. Yes, I will live. The future who shall spell? My wife, my son, will be enough for me. And I will give my hours to chronicling in stately words that stir futurity the might of our unmatched accomplishments, and in the tale immortalize your names by linking them with mine. He soon falls into a convalescent sleep. The marshals, etc. go out. The room is left in darkness.
Scene V. Bayon. The British camp,
the foreground is an elevated stretch of land, dotted over in rows with the tents of the Peninsular Army. On a parade immediately beyond the tents the infantry are drawn up, awaiting something. Still farther back, behind a brook, are the French soldiery, also ranked in the same manner of reposeful expectation. In the middle distance we see the town of Bayon, standing within its zigzag fortifications at the junction of the River Adour with the Nive. On the other side of the Adour rises the citadel, a fortified angular structure standing detached. A large and brilliant tricolor flag is waving indolently from a staff on the summit. The Bay of Biscay, into which the Adour flows, is seen on the left horizon as a level line. The stillness observed by the soldiery of both armies, and by everything else in the scene except the flag, is at last broken by the firing of a signal gun from a battery in the town wall. The eyes of the thousands present rivet themselves on the citadel. Its waving tricolor moves down the flagstaff and disappears.
The regiments, unconsciously, hi-ya-a.
In a few seconds there shoots up the same staff another flag one intended to be white, but having apparently been folded away a long time, it is mildewed and dingy. From all the guns on the city fortifications a salute peals out. This is responded to by the English infantry and artillery with a few de joie.
The regiments, hurrah HHH.
The various battalions are then marched away in their respective directions and dismissed to their tents. The Bourbon standard is hoisted everywhere beside those of England, Spain, and Portugal. The scene shuts.
Seen by a highway in the outskirts of Avignon,
their own, the old city walls, the Rocher des Dames and its edifices, appear at the back plane of the scene under the gray light of dawn. In the foreground several postillions. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.